New Scotland local history in the time of the pandemic. This is the Historians Podcast, and I'm Bob Cudmore. We have two guests today from the town of New Scotland in Albany County. First, we welcome Alan Kolowitz. Alan, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Alan Kolowitz is president of the New Scotland Historical Association. Where is New Scotland?
Well, New Scotland is smack dab in the middle of Albany County. In fact, our town borders every town in the county except for Colony, which is in the far northeast of Albany County, and Rensselaerville, which is in the far southwest.
Hmm. What it's called, the hill towns in the Helderberg Hills or mountains just outside Albany.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. We are partially in the hills and partially a suburban town, which makes us very, very diverse. We do include John Boyd Thatcher Park and most of the Helderberg Escarpment in the town, but we also have Voorheesville, which is basically a suburban community.
Mm-hmm. How long have you lived there?
I've been in New Scotland for 30 years.
Oh, yeah, good,
but I'm a newcomer.
Yeah,
but
I understand.
We tend to retain our population.
Yeah, that's true. Well, what does the Historical Association do?
Well, we were established in 1971. We're chartered by the State Education Department. We run a museum, the New Scotland Museum, at the Wyman Housterhaugh Community Center, which is a town building, but used to be a one-room schoolhouse. We have a publication program. We put out the Sentinel every month. We also have a series of programs that run from October to May, and we normally draw a lot of people, averaging between 50 and maybe 60 people for some of our better programs, and we draw them from the Capital District. A lot of the people that attend are our members, but we also advertise on the Times Union website and the Altamont Enterprise, and we do get a lot of people, and our programs are very well regarded. We have a website, and we also manage the historic markers within the town in New Scotland as well, and we have quite a collection of both artifacts and informational sources focused on the town of New Scotland, and we are collecting all the time, and we're interested in the papers of businesses and individuals that have made an impact on our town.
Mm-hmm. Now, recently, the New Scotland Historical Association was one of 21 organizations in the state to receive grant funding from the Pomeroy Fund for New York State History, which is based in the Syracuse area. This grant program was to help historical organizations forced to close or otherwise cut back their activities in the pandemic. What happened to all the programs you were talking about of the New Scotland Historical Association because of the pandemic?
Well, our museum had to close. We're in a town building, and that museum is still closed. And we'll open up as we go into different phases, but it will be a while before we can do that. We had to cancel our programs for April and May. May is our membership meeting, so that was very, very painful. We had to stop our collection activity and our collection management activity, and we had to delay our publication. So it had a pretty significant impact on our organization. We're all volunteers. We don't have any paid staff, and people need to be able to get together to do the work of the association. So that was pretty much of a strong hit against our ability to perform our mission.
Mm. Well, you must have made a good case to the Pomeroy Foundation, because they had more than 170 applications, and you got one of the grants.
Yes, we were very pleased about that. I wrote the grant, but I had a input from a number of our board members on what we needed, and I think we made a very good argument about how the pandemic had hurt us, and also we tied our grant request to addressing those specific issues tied to the pandemic. So we were granted about we granted exactly $1,826, and that money we will use to buy an enhanced software package that will allow us to present some of our materials on the website and also get some expertise. We're not all technically proficient, so we can use that. We'll also purchase a higher-end camera to be able to photograph some of our objects and be able to display them. We also asked for a one-year subscription to Zoom so that we can possibly present some of our programs remotely and have our board meetings. One of the problems is that we don't have the greatest Wi-Fi and internet within certain parts of the town. It's been very difficult for us to hold our board meetings, which is the way we move forward our programs. We also asked for some monies for additional storage on our website hosting platform and some professional services. I don't know how much we'd be able to get for that, but as you can see, those requests were really tied to our needs, and I think we made a very succinct but very a clear argument for the funds, and we were very pleased to get it because we were within the Capital District. We were the smallest, had the smallest budget of any organization that received a grant, and we're the only one that didn't have any professional staff.
Mm-hmm. I know, for example, another one of the grant recipients locally, I believe, was Fort Johnson of the Montgomery County Historical Association, which I'm familiar with, and they do have, you know, staff. They have two folks that work there, but but they've been around for a long time, and it sounds like you've come up with a good. You've got a lot of use for that $1,800. I'm sure it's practically gone by now.
Well, I was able to get to the credit union and wait on a very long line of cars to be able to deposit that. And we actually have not spent the money yet. We got the check last week, and we have our board meeting on this coming Tuesday. And I want to make sure that we document our expenditures. The Pomeroy Foundation realizes that they're dealing with small entities, and they are fairly light-handed on their oversight. But I want to make sure that we document our use of that funds and can demonstrate that it was used for the purposes mm-hmm. and for which it was granted. I think that's very, very important.
And the Pomeroy Foundation, I believe, has opened up another round of, you know, they're going to give away another $50,000, I think, and they're getting applications for that.
Yeah, that will be wonderful. I mean, small historical societies add so much to a community. They're the only ones that will focus on that community. If it wasn't for the New Scotland Historical Association, a lot of things wouldn't be preserved. And they wouldn't have a center point to highlight some of the historical features that make the town what it is. And I hope a lot of smaller organizations don't feel that they're too small or don't have the expertise to be able to apply for those grants. I'm really hoping they do, because I think it adds so much to a community.
Hmm. And maybe I should mention, as I brought up Old Fort Johnson, the other Capital District recipients in the first round with the Fulton County Historical Society, which is up in Gloversville, the National Bottle Museum, pass by it frequently, right there on the main street of Ballston Spa, and then the Town of New Scotland Historical Association. Do you, you've lived there, you said, for 30 years. Did a job bring you there? I mean, is that why you were there? Or were you from far away?
I moved from Illinois to the Capital District to take a job at the New York State Archives. So I do have some background in historical and cultural institutions. And as our kids were getting a little bit older, we moved out of the city of Albany to Voorheesville. It was just before the school districts won a number of national awards. But we were looking for a smaller community. My wife is from a smaller town in western New York, and this was the type of environment that we wanted to raise our kids in, and have enjoyed being part of this community for the 30 years that we've moved here.
Well, I've known several people who live in Voorheesville or elsewhere in New Scotland. Voorheesville's a village, right, within the town of
that
New Scotland?
That is correct. We are the only incorporated village within the town, but we do have very distinct hamlets as well. New Salem, Furibush, New Scotland itself, which is at the junction of 85 and 85A, is, you know, where some of the original Scottish settlers from the northern part of the town. Enniskillsaw Historic District, which has a large number of, for this area, of 18th century houses. Unionville, so we do have a lot of distinctive communities. But yes, Voorheesville is the population center of the town and is a incorporated village.
When I worked for the state myself, I knew a couple of folks who lived up in Voorheesville specifically, and I know one of them in particular really enjoys Smitty's Tavern, which is no longer there, right? But that's almost historic, isn't it?
I live a block away from Smitty's Tavern. I almost can look out my window and see the building, which is still there. It's been a controversy, which we probably don't want to get into on this call. But the structure is still there. It was originally a hotel and tavern. For many years, it was a linchpin of the community. It still has a lot of sentimental value to the people who live here. And it had great pizza, too, which we miss.
Yeah, they had great pizza. That's what I understood. Well, in just a moment, we're going to be talking with Bob Parmenter, who's the town historian, and we'll ask him about history topics. Anything you'd like to tell us before you sign off here?
I'm sure. People might not be aware that they've been through or in New Scotland. We do have John Boyd Thatcher's Park and Indian Ladder Farm, and I think a large percentage of people in the Capital District have been to those locations.
What is, now it occurs to me a question, with I hope a short answer. I mean, what is your web? Do you have a website, or where can people
access? Yes, we do. New Scotland Historic Association does have a website. You can Google it. I don't have the URL right off the top of my head.
Sure. So, but that would be, people can Google New Scotland Historical Association to find out about what you folks are doing.
That is
great. Alan Kolowitz, it's been a pleasure talking with you. You have a good day.
And you do. Enjoy your morning.
Do want to put in a word for the Historians Podcast GoFundMe campaign. You can find information about the campaign on our website, bobcudmore.com. It's on the banner on the right-hand side of the page. If you click there, it'll take you to GoFundMe, and you can easily donate online. If you'd rather donate in the mail, you can send a check to me, Bob Cudmore, and at 125 Horseman Drive, Scotia, New York, 12302. And thank you very much. We continue with our New Scotland episode on the Historians Podcast with Bob Parmenter. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Oh, I'm very pleased to be part of it.
Bob Parmenter is the town historian for the Albany County town of New Scotland. What is the origin of the town, and why is it called New Scotland?
Well, the town, the area, was once part of the Bethlehem Township. New Scotland broke away from Bethlehem Township in 1832. The state passed a law changing that. Apparently, the people in New Scotland area were considered hinterland or, you know, a hill town or something, as opposed to the rest of the town of Bethlehem, and they wanted to break away. So in 1832, that occurred, April 25th, 1832.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's called New Scotland because it was settled by people from Scotland?
Well, what is now the hamlet of New Scotland, that area was settled by a lot of Scots and Scotch-Irish, right? But there were a lot of other people, too. I mean, predominantly, the Dutch were here along with the English and even some German.
Did any of the Native Americans stay?
Oh, yes. Ooh. Yeah, there were Native Americans still living in the area well into the late 19th century.
Mm-hmm. When we were setting this up, I talked to you and I asked, and I'll ask you again, how long have you been town historian?
Since 1974. I was very young when I started.
I say you must have been. It was interesting because you were a young man. What kind of drew you to want to be the town historian?
Well, I've always been interested in history. I taught at Gilderland High School for 32 years, social studies, high school social studies, and that's what I was involved in when I first got interested in it in the local area.
Local history is different, or what, or is it? I mean, it's different from, let's say, what you would have taught in social studies.
Well, the focus is a lot narrower. I would say that. I mean, I dealt with primarily European history when I was teaching, but we talked about economics and politics and cultural situations, and you really have the same thing at the local level. Yeah. I think, anyway.
Yeah.
For example, in a town like New Scotland, its history, the economy was primarily agriculture in almost all of the hamlets.
Mm-hmm. I go up there fairly often. I know people who live up there, or in Voorheesville, anyway. You live in Voorheesville, by the way?
Just outside Voorheesville.
Outside of Voorheesville. But is it a good place to farm? It seems to me it's sort of hilly and rocky.
Well, there's a lot of that. But there are areas that are very good farmland. For example, the Nesquithaw area, where the historic district is, that has some very good farmland, especially along the creek, the Nesquithaw Creek. And there are other areas as well. But you're right, there are some places where you can't get a shovel in the ground.
Well, let me dwell for a bit on Nesquithaw. That's a creek. It's a hamlet, one of the several hamlets in New Scotland. Do you know what the word means or what the word would translate to mean?
Well, it's an Indian name, obviously. I've heard different, I can't really give you a translation right now. I've heard different ones. They depends on who you talk to.
Okay, so, but it's been there for a long time.
Oh,
but
yes.
Why is that? Alan Kolowitz mentioned in Nesquithaw as well. Why is that an historic district? What's historic about Nesquithaw?
Well, it's one of the earliest areas settled. It goes back to the Van Rensselaers back in the late 1600s. I think it was around 1690, 95. And they settled along that creek before the very reason we were just talking about, the good farmland. And some of the earliest buildings that exist in town can be found in that area. The historic district was created in 1974. People got interested in wanting to protect and preserve, the history of the area, so they formed that district, and it became part of the National Register in 74.
Mm-hmm. And the homes that are preserved there are made of stone? Is that
a lot of them? There are eight, as I remember, eight stone homes in that district.
And since it's in a historic district, does that mean what does that mean that the homeowners have to get permission to do certain things, or isn't it that
especially with the Historic Preservation Committee coming into existence, I think that's going to strengthen that. But it doesn't mean that if you were a homeowner, you can't make changes, you know, important renovations or things like that. You just can't change the basic structure, the look of it. You know, trying to maintain the whole atmosphere, you know, try to keep it the same as it is right now.
Mm-hmm. But it's important not to destroy what has existed for so long.
That's correct, yeah. Because in many cases, you know, you have many situations where old structures, even though they might be in pretty good shape, people come along and bulldoze them because they want to put up, you know, new houses or whatever. And they're trying to prevent that kind of thing.
Let me ask you about some of the other sections or hamlets of New Scotland, or one is not a hamlet, it's actually a village, as Alan Kolowitz told us. That's Voorheesville. You said you live outside of Voorheesville. That's, I gather, a kind of suburban. I've been up there. I mean, it's like people I know who live there in a ranch house. I mean, it looks like stuff that has been built since World War II.
Yeah, sure. The houses throughout the town, I mean, go back, as I said, 1700 or so are some of the earliest ones, the stone ones certainly. But then you've had a lot of new growth out in New Scotland since, well, let's say since World War II. So you have a mix of modern and historic. But as far as the township, how is it broken up? There are the village of Voorheesville is the only incorporated village, and that's actually the newest community in the town.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
That came about primarily because of the railroad in the late 1800s, especially after the Civil War. That's when that really began to take off.
Really? So a railroad went through there, or does it still go through there? Is there a railroad line?
Well, they still go through, but not the way they used to, not on a regular basis, let's say, as they would have even 50 years ago. The railroad, there's actually two railroads when it first started. You had the West Shore Railroad and the Albany and Susquehanna Railroad, and that where they crossed, that created the junction, and that would become the beginning of Voorheesville, really. That was originally called Susquehanna Junction.
Ah, so Voorheesville started as a railroad town.
Yeah, it really did. And then you had all kinds of related industries starting to exist there. You had coal pockets, of course, for the railroad and other purposes, but you had a foundry, there were grist mills, there was a cider works, Duffy Mott Cider Works, because of the farming, the orchards in the area, and all of that kind of, you know, distributed out from Voorheesville. But there are several other communities in the town. There are six other hamlets throughout the town. You have, well, the hamlet of New Scotland itself, that was formed as early as 1760. There was a church there, a Presbyterian church there in 1787, and it's still there. And that was the beginning, really, of that community. There's also New Salem. That was formed in the 1770s. You have Enniskethaw, the community itself. That's kind of an interesting place. If you go up there, the church that's there was built in 1825, and it's a stone church. And it's built from stone that was quarried for the Erie Canal, but it was built from the reject stone for the canal. Yeah, in 1825. And then
it reminds me of the biblical.
I'm sorry?
There's a biblical verse. The stone that has been rejected has become the cornerstone.
That's exactly right. And there's a plaque built right into the front of the church that says that. They quote that. Fear Bush is another community, which literally means fire bush. It was originally called Mokeville and then called Jerusalem after that. And then when they
let me just dwell on that for a moment. Fiora Bush, F-E-U-R-A, right?
That's correct.
And that means, but you say that means fire bush, like in
literally,
the burning bush?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as the story goes, there were a lot of pine trees, and at different times of the year, when the pine needles turned to kind of an orange color and so on, the sun would hit them, and people, it looked like the hills were on fire, and that's where, at least that's one of the stories behind the behind the name. How true that is, I don't know. But when the post office was established there, then they changed it from Jerusalem to Fear Bush, because there were too many Jerusalems in the state, so they had to differentiate. In fact, that's true almost of all these hamlets. The names were changed because of the post offices. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what about Clarksville?
Scotland? Clarksville was really the largest community in the town right up until the late 18th century, right up until the Voorheesville came along. That had a lot of early industry at one time. It was originally called West Bethlehem. It was named Clarksville after a man by the name of Adam Clark, who moved there in 1822. And when they put the post office in, he was the one who decided it was going to be called Clarksville. So that was there. And there's also Unionville. Don't want to forget them. It was originally Union Church, because two churches came together, therefore Union Church. But when the post office came in, they changed it to simply Unionville.
Mm-hmm. So and you said them, you...
Yes.
No, I was going to say, you say you live outside of Voorheesville?
Yeah, I'm between... I live basically between Voorheesville and New Salem.
Mm-hmm. Are there still industries in New Scotland, or is it primarily residential now?
Well, I'd say it's certainly a lot more residential than it used to be. There are still some industries and businesses, of course, in Voorheesville and also throughout the town. But it's primarily residential. There's still agriculture going on, but not like it used to be. You know, back in the 19th century, or even before World War II, there were a lot of large farms and dairies and so on. There's only one or two dairies left now in the town.
Mm-hmm. I looked up on Wikipedia, 8,600 people live in New Scotland, something like that.
That's probably, but right around 9,000. It was up to just under 10,000 at one point, but it's dropped back in the recent years. So it's right around 9,000.
Mm-hmm. What changes have you seen since you've been historian in 1974?
I think there's been a lot of growth in terms of people moving out here. Overall, the population right now isn't reflecting a rapid growth, but it's certainly, if you look around at the construction of buildings and apartments and things of that sort, there's a lot of change. And that's one of the concerns, is that the history of the town isn't forgotten. We try to preserve as much as we can of what has been here without stopping growth. I mean, you have to have growth. You have to have modernization and improvement. We all know that.
Our guest has been Bob Parmenter, town historian in the Albany County town of New Scotland. This has been the Historians Podcast. I'm Bob Cudmore.